attentive. O Lord, how magnificent are your works. You have made all things in wisdom. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Wisdom.
The reading is from the Acts of the Apostles.
Let us be attentive.
In those days, those apostles who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to none except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number that believed turned to the Lord. News of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a large company was added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus and took to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a large company of people, and in Antioch the disciples were for the first time called Christians. Now in these days prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them, named Agabus, stood up and foretold by the Holy Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. And this took place in the days of Claudius. And the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brethren who lived in Judea. And so they did, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul.
Peace be to you, the reader. Arise, let us hear the Holy Gospel. Peace be with you all.
And with your spirit.
The reading is Holy Gospel according to St. John. Let us
be attentive.
Glory to you, O Lord, glory to you.
At that time, Jesus came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and so Jesus, wearied as he was with his journey, sat down beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself and his sons and his cattle?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. The water that I shall give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and he whom you now have is not your husband. This you said truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you say that Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know, we worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for such the Father seeks to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will show us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Just then his disciples came. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but none said, What do you wish? Or why are you talking with her? So the woman left her water jar and went away into the city and said to the people, Come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? They went out of the city and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples besought him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. So the disciples said to one another, Has anyone brought him food? Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say that there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? I tell you, lift up your eyes and see how the fields are already white for harvest. He who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, for that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, It is no longer because of your words that we believe, for we have heard ourselves. And we know that this is indeed Christ the Savior of the world. Glory to you, O Lord. Glory to you.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christos Anesti. It's an old story. That's what the pundits are telling us with regard to the ongoing conflict between the Israelis and the Palestinians over the Middle East. It's an old story, they tell us, and they're referring in this case to the fact that since 1948, there has been ongoing conflict, a cycle of violence, death, destruction, bombing, followed by half-hearted attempts at peace, only to break down, followed by more violence, street riots, and on and on and on. And the pundits are telling us it's an old story, but actually the story goes back even further. For it seems that from the very beginning of humankind, there has been religious sectarian violence. We seem to like to fight about and over religion. And religion, we fight over religion, that's because it's intertwined with so many historical, cultural, social, economic factors that it all gets jumbled together. And the next thing you know, people are saying, well, the heck with religion, because all it does is produce conflict. Now, to those who say this in criticism of religion, I would say they're only looking at the surface of religious reality, and they're not looking at the heart of religious reality. Yes, religion can get caught up in these factors that lead to sectarian violence and conflict, but we want to go to the heart of religious values. We could do worse than look at the story today of Christ and the Samaritan woman, because what we see here and what we see at the heart of religious reality is encounter. Encounter between the divine and the human. That is the heart of our religious and spiritual reality. Not politics, not economics, not history, but encounter. The encounter between Christ and the Samaritan woman, the encounter between Christ and us. Now, as in any encounter, this encounter unfolds, begins with skepticism, because whenever we go to encounter the divine, we always bring our baggage with us. Well, what are you doing here, Jesus? We don't want anything to do with you. We don't have anything to do with you. It's an old story, you know. Don't you know the conflict between the Jews and the Samaritans goes way back? They did us dirt. No, yeah, that's sort of how I remember it. We don't want anything to do with them, and they don't want anything to do with us. So what are you doing here? Then, of course, the skepticism can go a little deeper. We can be skeptical about ourselves. I'm not in any position to encounter the divine. Look at the mess I'm in. Samaritan woman had, what, how many husbands? She was the Liz Taylor of the ancient world. So she might have been skeptical about encountering the divine. But then it unfolds a little bit more. And then there comes a promise. And in the promise, what do we see? Relief. Now, in her case, it's relief from the parching thirst of a dry desert region, and relief from the burden that a woman bore of needing to go to the well to provide water for the family, for the livestock, for the crops. That was a woman's work. And she was doing it at the heat of the day. And she was promised some form of relief, just as we might first be willing to encounter the divine when we need relief. And we might overcome our skepticism and say, you know, I hurt so much. I just can't see any light at the end of that tunnel. I'm beset. I don't know if I'm ever going to have a job again. I don't know if my children will turn out okay. Everything I see around me seems dark and gloomy. There's got to be more to life than this. This endless burdensomeness of my existence. And so, we open up a little bit to the divine, and we call out. And what is the first thing we call out for? Not revelation, not insight, but mercy. Love. Forgiveness. And so we open up a little bit more to the divine, as the Samaritan woman, Photini, did. She opened up a little more. She began the next phase, inquiry. We don't want to worship what we don't know. Now, when we talk about faith, we don't mean faith, blind faith, in the sense that we have no content to our faith. When we say, I believe in the liturgy, it's followed by a host of statements that we believe in. So she begins to examine the issues for herself in her own spiritual life. Never mind what the rest of the Samaritans are doing. This is my encounter with a figure before me whose meaning I want to know, which is why we attend church, why we study the scriptures. When Jesus says, spirit and truth, we worship in spirit, that doesn't mean we don't attend church. It doesn't mean, well, you know, I have my, I'm not religious, but I'm very spiritual. Fill in the blanks, it'll mean whatever you want it to mean. There's content, there's meaning, needs instruction, catechism. And it needs a will, a desire to penetrate a little bit into this encounter. Not just say, well, nice to meet you. Maybe I'll see you next year at Christmas or Easter. Needs encounter. Needs investment in a relationship. If we want to go beyond the wedding and the honeymoon to the marriage, you need to put a little work into it. And so she does. She starts to ask. She opens up. And it is then that the fullness of the truth comes to her. And what is that truth? The truth is the Lord's statement, I am. That's the name of God. That's the name that God revealed to Moses at the burning bush. And then comes her understanding of the promise, the living water. The living water is not just relief from her burdens. It's not just an easier life, but abundant life, ever-flowing life, life eternal. It means the water will flow up into her heart, into her soul, into her mind, quench her thirst, the spiritual thirst. That's what Christ is offering her. And now, at last, finally, she's ready to receive it. Are we ready? Are we prepared? Are we hopeful? Do we have faith? Do we want an encounter? You can want it and work for it. Otherwise, you won't have it. It's not because Christ doesn't want you to have it, but we have to want it too. We have to stick through that encounter as she did, the Samaritan woman at the well. And as often is the case in the Gospel of John, there's an irony to the story. The Samaritan woman goes to the well. And what is well? Water. Well, you put the bucket down and it rises up from a still water source at the bottom, accumulation of rainwater or whatever. But archaeologists have found, and those who have visited the well have discovered, it's not a well at all. Because down at the bottom of this long shaft is not still water, but running water. An underground stream of water. Living water. That Samaritan woman, Fotini, did not know what she was even going to the well for or what she would find there. That's true for us as well. We don't know exactly what we're going to find. But it's not still water. It's living water. Water that flows into abundant life. And may he, the living water, Christ our true God, well up inside of us, quench our thirsts, lead us to a refreshed and renewed encounter with him in the days, the weeks, the months, and the years ahead. And may his name be glorified, together with his eternal Father, his all holy, good, and life-giving Spirit, now and ever, and to the ages of ages. Amen. Amen.